This is Let's Hear It on WMUK, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. Glad you could come along tonight.
You'd be so easy to love, so easy.
Two longtime musical collaborators based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, recently joined Jazz Currents host Keith Hall in the studio at WMUK. Singer Edie Evans-Hyde and guitarist Michael Hyde can be heard in venues across West Michigan and are sought after as teachers of the jazz tradition. Coming up, the couple performs songs of Cole Porter, George Gershwin, and Antonio Carlos Jobim, and they talk about how they acquired their love of American jazz. The session was recorded live in the Takeda studio at WMUK. Here's Keith Hall.
Welcome to WMUK, you guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to this session with you all. You know, you're old friends and we've worked together. And I'm just really looking forward to sharing your music with our audience and talking about your lives. I know that you both have an impressive list of credits to both of your names. And I know I've appreciated your music as a listener and then also as a bandmate at times. And Edie, I know that you were recently named West Michigan Jazz Society's Musician of the Year.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
And I think we should just start with some music. Yeah?
Sure, that'd be great.
What would you like to start with?
We are going to do a little blues for you.
Great.
You see me standing here, baby. Don't you know I've
nobody seems to care. Bad luck and trouble, you know that I've had my share. Every day I have the blues. Every day I have the blues. You see me standing here, baby, don't you know I paid my dues? Every day.
Yeah. Stormy Monday. Sounded beautiful, you guys.
Thank you.
And why did you pick that tune? Is there something special about that tune for you? Or?
Oh, I've always liked it. I don't know. I don't know why I picked it. When I do a blues, it's like whatever comes to me at the time, and that just kind of came to me.
Well, thank you so much for that. Now, you both live in Grand Rapids.
Yes.
But I'm really interested how you met and how you started working together.
You want to take that one?
We met in a bar. No, actually, we met in college. I was playing with a top 40 band with another singer, and she got sick one night. So a friend of ours, who I went to college with at the community college in Grand Rapids, I was in school with him, and he called Guy Didi's name as a replacement for the evening, along with another girl I was dating at the time. So you know, we don't need to get into that. Anyways, so Edie came out, sat in. She seemed to know a lot of pop tunes and fit right in. And I don't think you hadn't really been working professionally really at all.
It was like my first professional band.
Wow.
Yeah, so we just got a call. And I'm like, oh, a gig. I'm so excited.
So luckily, the singer that I was normally working with, she would sing some of the tunes, and then she'd kind of run to the bathroom really quick, and then Edie would come up and do a couple tunes. It was sort of like that.
It was fun. It was very fun. So that's how we met.
Where was that?
It was...
the bar was called the Tiki Lounge.
It was called the Tiki Lounge in Grand Rapids.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in Grand Rapids. And yeah, I just got a call... From someone from the music department, and they said, yeah, the singer is looking for a replacement for the night because she has the flu. And I'm like, okay, I'll go do that. I was scared to death. I had it was my first year of school, and the only dress I had was my homecoming dress from high school. So I wore that. It was exciting. So that's how we met. We started doing just gigs together, guitar and voice things, and stayed, you know, working all through college. It was fun.
So was it love at first sight, or was it just...
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I think we just respected each other for music, and I enjoyed listening to him play, and he had another singer he could work with, and so...
Yeah, we became really good friends.
Really good friends, right.
I think is really what the deal was, so...
Yeah, so all through school we were in a rock band, believe it or not, the whole time we were in college. And
I want to see pictures.
Oh, I've got plenty.
Too bad this is
I'll
not
have
television.
To.
It'd and be we'll pretty scary.
I had a afterwards. Big red afro, and yeah, it was. I mean, I guess I'm kind of red now, but it was really red then.
Yeah,
it was really red. So well, it was very fun.
That's a great story. I always love to talk to married couples or couples that work together because, you know, for some people they say, oh, that really works for us. And then other people say, I could never work with my spouse or my partner. So I'm just going to put you on the spot a little bit here. You know, if you weren't married, what is it about each other musically that would cause you to call each other for a gig?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, because it's certainly convenient to work together.
It is.
And it's perfect. But if Mike wasn't your husband, what is it about him that would make you call him for a gig?
I think for a singer, for me, is a trust factor that he would make me look good.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully I would do the same for him. And I think that's with any musician. Relationship. You want to trust that person that you can put something together and you complement each other. And for him, his talent lied in and still does, in preparing me. He would write charts for me. You know, if I wanted to do this particular song, I'm not a good chart writer. So he'd make a chart for me and it would be there in my key. He could play it. We'd give it to other band members and they respected how he wrote things. And it just made me look good.
That's
I don't know if that's a good answer, but
I think it's perfect. What about you, Mike?
Well, I mean, you know, some of it in hindsight, I know kind of what a repertoire is and the kind of stuff she does, so it's pretty easy. I know I've worked with other singers, and sometimes it can be just a little difficult because of the lack of familiarity with what they do. And, of course, the Great American Songbook is a really broad thing, and so somebody's always coming in, do you know this song? And it's like, ooh. So I'm pretty comfortable with her repertoire. And also, lately we've been doing a lot of these kind of duo gigs. And Edie has the advantage that she can actually scat, where a lot of the singers that I'd work with don't do that. And so there's a lot more responsibility on me to lengthen the tune, you know, make them long enough to make it worthwhile and whatever. So it always feels really good that we can sit down, the two of us, and actually play a tune and have it last for 5 or 6 minutes, because she can do her thing and she sounds great on it. And we can just look at each other and pass things back and forth. And she's just the best. I mean, what are you going to say?
Aw.
Aw. Suck up.
That's right.
Yeah, because usually a lot of singers, if they don't scat, they'd sing the melody and then they'd go sit down.
Right.
And then you've got the rest of the tune by yourself.
Yeah, and that's a lot of responsibility for one guitar player to do. So it can be kind
of... It's a long gig.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, but even as a performer doing pop music, I mean, it's still... You don't have that luxury of even doing that. So you still have to, you know, try to figure out what key that person's going to do the song in, if they have the style. And I think it's a big trust thing that you know what you're doing. Between the two of them.
Well, as long as I've known you both personally and professionally, it seems like it's a good match.
It is.
Seems like it's working out.
It's working out very well. It is.
Well, let's hear another song.
I think we're going to do a Cole Porter tune. Is that what we're doing?
I think so. What, Easy to Love?
Easy to Love, right. We'll do that for you.
Yeah, great.
Keep every home fire burning for, we'd be so grand at the game, so carefree together that it does seem a shame that you can't see your future with me, 'cause you'd be oh so easy to love. Ding, 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 ding
appropriate tune for you guys to play.
Right.
You know, it's hard to believe some of those tunes from the Great American Songbook, like you're referring to, Mike. I mean, these songs are 80 years old now.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you really think about it, these are really, really old songs, and people are still doing new things with them, and they're just timeless.
The strength of the lyrics, I think, relates overall time. Mm. And the melody lines are just amazing. We do a lot of teaching, and I teach students, jazz students, and the songs that I pick for them, after they learn it, they come back and they actually have a relationship with the song. You know, they come back to me with a relationship, and they're surprised in the first place that they would actually like a jazz tune, even though they're really taking the class. They want to experience it, but then they find the commonality. You know, what actually relates to them, even in, you know, 2015. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about education. Both of you are teachers. You both teach at Hope College.
Yes.
And I think you've taught other places as well, and you do private study as well. What kind of things are you trying to relay to your students? What are some themes or lessons that you're kind of trying to instill in these students?
Well, for mine, I tend to kind of teach from somewhat of a theoretical standpoint. And so a lot of it is because if they're working on jazz improvisation and that kind of stuff, scales and that kind of stuff, you know, the harmony things. But I have my own approach that's really very kind of streamlined that allows them to kind of access this stuff pretty quickly. And then you know, not to get in all techie about it, but basically I start with kind of a broad view, and then as they go along, they can sort of come in more with a microscope and start to look at different things and see what they can do. And then I always try to kind of relate it back to how it could apply to, like, pop music today, because a lot of those guys are into that kind of stuff. And so to say, well, this is kind of where these things came from. Now you can sort of back it up and find out, oh, I can do this kind of thing with this new pop tune, just knowing how to balance out kind of the quote-unquote complex things that we do in jazz. I don't know if that makes any sense, but and I just try to get them turned on by it, really. I think one of the pitfalls is a lot of students don't listen as much as they should to the kind of music that they're trying to play. And so they don't get a real good grasp of it. We always bring up our son, Evan. And there was a year in high school for him where he wasn't really studying drum set at all, because he's a drummer. And but he got, like, exponentially better. And we found out that basically it was because he walked around with an iPod all the time and had hours and hours of jazz on it. And so he was listening to it, and that's how he was learning.
Yeah, and I think with my students, I mainly try to get them to understand why jazz is important in our culture and how it is an American art form. I try to get them to understand that you want to make it your own. So we do listen to the greats. I teach by listening to the greats, I guess, and then having them be creative enough to say, you know, how would you sing this and how does this fit with your voice and how does this fit with your particular personality? So I'm not theoretical at all. We just do a lot of feely, touchy stuff, you know, which they like. They really do.
Yeah. Well, I was online looking at your website, Mike. MikeHydeGuitarInstruction.com, in case there are any guitar players out there. But I was impressed by the method, and you've got videos on there, and it looks like, as you said, you've got it streamlined to where you teach certain subjects and then tie it into a song that the students might know and teach that way. And it looks like you've really got a great method happening here. So if there are any guitar players out there,
right.
That's right.
Good place to check it out. Well, I can tell by your playing and how professional you are that you've got just such a wide array of influences. You know, I've heard you play lots of different styles of music. I know, Mike, you can do hard rock and country and jazz and all sorts of things. And Edie, you've done, you know, gospel and pop and R&B and jazz and theater, which we can talk about later. But I'm just wondering what some of your main influences were growing up or when you first started on your instruments.
Well, mine is pretty varied because I was classically trained. I was a classical major at Aquinas College. Not a classical performance major. I was a classical major in as much as I was going into education. So I loved that. Before that, of course, I grew up, shouldn't tell my age, I guess, but I kind of grew up with the, you know, the Motown and that type of thing and a little church. I'm not real big gospel, but definitely pop of the 60s and 70s is kind of my area of. And I moved to Grand Rapids from Tennessee. So my dad was big country. He loved country music. He loved, I always say he loved anything from Crystal Gayle, if you guys know who Crystal Gayle is, to Nancy Wilson, Jimmy Smith. I mean, we had everything, Ray Charles, we had everything playing in our house quite often. And the big album I remember in my household was Ray Charles' country western album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my influences are huge and varied, and I feel like I love all kinds of music, all kinds. And so it's hard to be real specific on who influenced me. I'd say a little bit of everybody.
Normally when I talk to people about my musical upbringing very early on, I kind of tell a fib and say I was into like Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix, but actually I was like a real big fan of the Monkees. but of course I was that my first experience was of course the what was it 1964 when the Beatles came on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
that was the deciding moment that I was going to be a guitar player, you know. Wow. It was, and I've talked to all kinds of people and heard interviews of people who had the same experience I did. It was amazing, you know, at that time.
One television show.
Well, actually it was two. They were on 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and you couldn't even hear them, you know, it was just all screaming girls, but that right. tells you right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was really into the whole pop thing in general. And I really wasn't into the big rock god guitar players so much. I guess I was more interested in songs or something. Well, then after Edie and I got married, we moved to LA for a little over a year, and I went to the infamous Guitar Institute of Technology that was founded by Howard Roberts. And a couple guys that were influencing pretty much everybody that was there was Larry Carlton and Robin Ford, which are kind of the... They kind of stepped sort of into jazz, but they still played with, like, you know, pretty heavy distorted sounds. And so they were like rock players that kind of had one leg in the jazz world. And I heard Robin Ford play a couple times live at school, and it just blew my mind at what he was doing. So we were all into that kind of stuff. Later on, as I've been getting older, I'm listening to more of the traditional jazz guys. I really, well, of course, I listen to Wes Montgomery. But some of the newer guys, I'm kind of really into Peter Bernstein right now. You know, just a beautiful player. And to be honest, there's actually a guy from Chicago. His name is Andy Brown, who does a lot of duo gigs with his wife. And this guy is really a traditional player, but he does a lot of solo duo gigs. And he's one of the most complete accompanists that I think I've heard. I just love what he does. I say, you know, when I grow up, I want to be him.
So we're still, and of course, he's still learning.
Yeah. But he's like 20 years younger than me. So, anyways, and there's a lot of other guys that, you know, you just try to pick a little bit from everybody.
Edie, you have two CDs out under your own name. One is Girl Talk, and the latest one is called Magic in His Eyes.
Right.
And you mentioned your son, Evan, who
yes.
plays drums.
Yes.
He's turned into an amazing musician. And he's on this record.
Yes.
Along with some other folks that we know from the area. There is Sam Weber, a bass player from the area, Rob Smith and Rob Mulligan, Chris Martin, and
Terry Lauer's playing piano.
Oh, Terry's on here too?
Yes, mm-hmm,
right.
Yep.
So a lot of our friends.
Yes, a lot of our friends.
And I would love it if we heard something from the album, something that you
sure.
did on the album.
Sure. We can do a song that we do quite often when it's the two of us. It's a little Gershwin, Summertime. Thank you.
I always love to hear you sing that and play that. Or when I get a chance to work with you, it's always fun to play that with you guys. And another classic tune from 80 years ago, Porgy and Bess, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
Jeez.
The soprano opera, the primo soprano opera, or at least soprano solo. Love it.
Gershwin wrote this, it was his attempt to create his own spiritual in the style of the African-American folk music of the period.
Yeah, and that was his attempt to do that in the language, because if you listen to the language of it, you're like, where is this from? And I think it's a particular place in South Carolina. I mean, there's little islands off of South Carolina or something. Anyway, there's a particular group of people who actually had this particular language, and that's how it's written.
And I think those people are still there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like whatever their vernacular was, that's what he put into the opera.
Well, as we mentioned before, you both do lots of different types of things. And Edie, you do more than just sing and teach, but I know that you've been active in theater and have done some TV work. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. One of the things that I love doing is I've always been into theater. I've always been in it, and I didn't get into it until very late, my late 20s, I guess I should say. I started performing in small theater productions. My very first theater production I did was Fats Waller Ain't Misbehavin', and it was perfect because it was jazz and theater all in the same process. It was a musical theater show. And I just fell in love with it and did something every year after that. I always tell people I was in Dreamgirls. I played Dina before, Beyonce did. So, but I think theater has always been another outlet for me and an outlet for a lot of people, in as much as you can use theater for commentary, you can use theater for history. And we haven't had a black theater in Grand Rapids since the 1990s. So 2 years ago, I decided I was going to start a new one to encourage students, young people, to look at theater as a viable art form. So we launched it a couple years ago, and we have an education program along with it to an elementary school, and we have adult classes. And we've done 4 staged readings of four prominent productions. But what we want to do is really create an environment where we get to use and go out into the communities and build plays around issues, social justice issues that they may be having, and then use those people particularly to act on the stage. So it's kind of a community theater, social justice type of thing. So we have I'll tell you our vision statement. So, okay. We envision a world community where the dialogue of race and culture is boldly explored and opportunities exist for all voices to be heard. And that's the vision of Ebony Road Players.
Ebony Road Players.
Yeah.
And you can find out more information about you all at ebonyroad.org.
Exactly, exactly. And that is a very important part of my life is theater.
Well, it's beautiful. I applaud your effort to start something new.
Yeah.
Because that's not easy.
It is not easy.
And it takes a lot of people. You've got to gather a lot of people around you that have the same vision and passion. And right. So this is a good time to get involved.
Right, it is. And think out of the box a little bit to see how you can actually impact more people.
Well, let's hear some more music.
Okay. We can actually do something from a wonderful musical that has been out. Was a movie at first. Most of your audience probably will know about the musical or the movie The Color Purple. And Michael and I are going to do Miss Seeley's Blues. But before we do that, I want to introduce, you can't see this, but my husband has an amazing guitar that actually plays how many different instruments?
It emulates about 28 different instruments. Most of the various electric guitars, but also in this case, I'm going to be using my banjo setting.
And so he doesn't really have a banjo. It is just one instrument that he's using up here. So
you ready?
Ready.
La da 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 da.
of a kind, my sister. I'm keeping my eye on you. I bet you think I don't know nothing, my singing the blues, my sister. Have I got news for you? I'm something. I hope you think that you're something too. And I've seen a lot of suns go down. Oh, but trust me, ain't no long life's gonna run me around. So let me tell you something, sister. Remember my name, no twisters. Gonna steal my stuff away, my sister. Sure ain't got a whole lot of time. So shake those shimmy, sister. Cause honey, you know that sugar's feeling fine. Scuffling, I've been on that lonesome road, and I've seen a lot of suns go down. Oh, but trust me, ain't no long life's gonna run me around. So let me tell you something, sister. Remember my name, no twisters. I'm gonna steal my stuff away, my sister. Sure ain't got a whole lot of time. So oh, shake those shimmy, sister. Is feeling just fine, sister.
Yeah, it took me to another place in time. That was great. Man, it really did sound like a banjo. I closed my eyes for a minute just to, because you know, I'm watching you play this black guitar.
Oh, it has all kinds of two yeah, sounds. Can we do two sounds?
Yeah.
This is my normal acoustic sound, but it can go to 12 string. And then the one some people like is the, I got to remember where these all are. No, that's not it. This must be.
Oh.
Sitar.
Ravi Shankar.
That's right. You're right.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Just by pushing the button.
Yep. And it also has actually, like a lot of acoustic guitar players play with open tunings, where they basically tune the strings to other notes. Well, there's a way to program those in, and I just hit a button in it.
Yeah. We got that for him because he gets a lot of work with the symphony, and he ended up doing a Pixar show with them, and there was...
Yeah, they sent a list of the instruments I had to play, and it was like 21 different instruments.
21 different instruments.
So as opposed to like going out and trying to borrow all these guitars, I begged my wife and said, you know, can I do it? She said, well, all right, that's your Christmas present. And then I was able to walk in with three and basically cover everything. So
it was pretty cool.
We heard the banjo, and then we also heard, you know, like a plunger muted trumpet. You sound like Bubber Miley or Cootie Williams, Edie.
Edie's made-up instrument. I have no idea what it is. But
well, I think we have time for just one more tune.
Okay.
What would you like to play for us?
Are we doing...
No More Blues?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a little Antonio Carlos Jobim.
In my hometown.
Beautiful. That was fun. I encourage our listening audience to check you guys out live somewhere in the region. They can find out where you're performing on your website. And the websites are edieevanshide.com. And I'll spell Edie for you. It's E-D-Y-E. edieevanshide, H-Y-D-E.com. And then also more information about Mike, MikeHideGuitarInstruction.com. And then, of course, EbonyRoad.org. If you want to get involved with that group.
And the best place is find me on Facebook.
It's been really wonderful to have you in the studio. And thank you so much for allowing me this intimate setting to enjoy your music and share it with our audience. It's always great to be around your positive vibe and your smiling faces.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us. This was great.
Keith Hall spoke with Edie Evanshide and Michael Hyde for WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. You can hear this interview and music again on our website, wmuk.org. I'm Kara LaRance, and for the last few minutes we have left in this hour, we'll listen to a tune played by Joe Pass, the great jazz guitarist, playing here on his nylon string guitar. This is The Stars Fell on Alabama from the album Song for Ellen. That's Joe Pass, the great guitarist, born in 1929. This album recorded in 1992. We heard him play Stars Fell on Alabama. I'm Kara Lawrence. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. Thanks for tuning in.